The Bengals are going to New York to take on the New York Jets. 1-1, 0-2. Not necessarily the records we might have predicted for these teams. Let's cross over and talk biggest stories, biggest matchups, and predictions.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and that means Locked On Bengals and Locked On Jets is coming together to preview this weekend's football game in New York. It's John Butchko from Locked On Jets with myself, Jake Lisco from Locked On Bengals, and James Rapine from Locked On Bengals. We're going to get into the biggest stories, the biggest matchups, and predictions in this Crossover Thursday, as we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Crossover Thursday is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. It's so much fun and so easy to use. No competing against other players, just you, the projections, and a chance to win. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. We love Prize Picks, and we know you will too. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Let's get into the biggest stories, guys. And I think this time it's on the Bengals side of the ball, James, wouldn't you say?
I'm 100%, right? As fun as it was last week to watch the Jets come back against the Browns, are the defending AFC champions going to fall to 0-3? 0-3. In what was considered to be the weak part of their schedule. They have to go on the road. And here's the thing. The Jets beat the Bengals last year at MetLife. So it's that part of it is it's like, man, this is as must win as you can get in week three. And John, your Jets stand in the way. And something tells me that Robert Saleh and that team, they're going to be confident. Why wouldn't they be confident after that comeback against the Browns and the fact that they beat the Bengals last year?
Yeah, guys, I remember we did the Crossover Thursday show before that game. And I mean, I was so down on the Jets. I thought there was no way the Jets were going to win that game. And I have to tell you, we almost had another storyline because, you know, Joe Flacco was really struggling. He had a bad first game against Baltimore last week. You know, he's playing okay, but the Jets were on the verge of losing the game. We could have had a Mike White Bengals rematch this weekend if Flacco did not play well down the stretch. But, you know, as you guys said, I think the big story of this game is the Bengals. You know, will they start 0-3? I tell you, before the start of the season, I looked at the schedule and I said the game that I feel like the Jets have the least likely chance of winning was that week three game against the Bengals, because I think if you look objectively, Bengals are the more talented team. So you needed to be a trap game, but there was no way the Bengals were going to look past the Jets after what happened last year on, I think it was on Halloween. So it's an interesting dynamic. I think from the Jets side, the big story is just, you know, can they keep it going? It was an amazing victory for the team last week. They were down 13 in the final 80 seconds. They score a touchdown, and I think every Jets fan who was watching that game said, "Oh well, you know." I'll tell you, I was watching it, and I said, "Well, who cares? That just is cosmetic. It'll make the final score look more respectable." Then they recover the fumble, they recover the onside kick, and Joe Flacco, who frankly to that point had been kind of shaky in the game, he'd been okay, he wasn't terrible. He led that team on that last drive. The question is, can he keep that going? So I think, you know, two teams. Right now, as you guys said, I don't think we would have predicted that the Jets would enter this game with a better record than the Bengals. On the Bengals side, you've got a question. Are you going to, you know, can they get their first win of the year? And the Jets, you know, can they keep this going? Can they keep the momentum going?
It's the second week in a row, James, where we've had the host of the opposing team in our Bengals X team crossover feel like their team had a long shot to win. And here we are again. And this time, the Bengals at least aren't touchdown favorites. The odds makers finally backing off of their preseason odds making for the Bengals. Two touchdown favorite games that the Bengals end up losing. And I'm surprised, John, not that the question isn't, is Joe Flacco elite? Is he ready to get on that heater again and be an elite quarterback for the Jets for this whole season?
You know, you look at the numbers, and they look spectacular. He hasn't played as well as those numbers look. Game one, there was a lot of garbage time production. Before the score got to 24-3 Baltimore, Flacco was averaging under 6 yards per attempt. He had about 121 yards passing. Baltimore went up 3 scores in the second half. He ended up with over 300 yards. Prior to the comeback last week, so 58 minutes into the game, Flacco, again, was averaging about 5.5 yards per attempt. Now, that doesn't take away from what he did in the last 2 minutes of that game, because that was spectacular. That brought back memories of the, is he elite Joe Flacco, the borderline elite Joe Flacco of a decade ago. But you know, if you're looking at the numbers, you're thinking, Joe Flacco, looks like he's back in his Baltimore prime. I think if you're looking at the actual caliber of his play, it wasn't terrible last week. There have been a few good moments. And the one big thing I'll say about Joe Flacco is he has protected the football well. He threw one interception against Baltimore. It was one where his receiver fell down on a route. It was a rainy day at MetLife Stadium. Flacco, though, he's not a big-time playmaker. Now, the throw to the touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson, that was a great throw. It was a throw with great anticipation. But generally speaking, Flacco is not a guy who's really challenging the defense. He's taking what's there. If there's a big window, he'll check it down. But he's not a guy who's really going to make a ton of plays for you.
Is there a quarterback controversy if Flacco beats the reigning AFC champs? Are we talking Flacco starting even though Zach Wilson's healthy? Is that going to be a thing?
Robert Saleh, the head coach, has said Zach Wilson's going back in the lineup when he's healthy. I think long-term Zach Wilson's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets. Now, is there a scenario where Flacco plays well and maybe the Jets tell us, oh, next week, oh, Zach Wilson suffered a setback. We just want to be super careful. And yep. They're really, really conservative until Flacco loses a game. I think that's possible, but I don't think Flacco is going to take over as the starting quarterback for the bulk of the season. I think it's possible he's in there until he loses a game, but at some point we're going to see Zach Wilson this year.
You do have an opportunity to let Joe Flacco play against every AFC North team, his former division rivals, to start the season, of course, playing the Steelers in week 4. And a bit of an odd coincidence on the schedule there with all four AFC North teams for the Jets to start the year. James, the Bengals, meanwhile, hoping to avoid 0-3. You called it a must-win game, or as close to a must-win game, I guess, as it could be. I think that there's something to that. The Bengals, talking to the media, their quarterback, their coaches, in the open locker room on Wednesday, urgency, no panic, a lot of confidence, but that of their fans certainly shaken at this point in the season.
Yep. And the thing, Joe Burrow's getting all the headlines. And so by now, a lot of our listeners and Jets listeners and fans have probably seen it in some platform of Burrow saying the relax and all of those things. Take a deep breath. Maybe the social media stuff. But the thing that I think is going to go under the radar, T. Higgins was asked, and he's like, we just got to go out and do it. He was like, I don't want to talk about last year. You know, as far as starting fast, which we'll get to, all of those, we just got to go out and do it. And I think that that's where the confidence comes from to a degree, because they think that they are capable of putting everything from the past 2 weeks behind them and playing well. But until they do it, I'm going to kind of question things a bit. Like, you know, we have to give our prediction coming up in a bit. I'm not going to be as confident as I was last week, or as confident as I was in week 1. And the Bengals have been favored in all 3 games. And yet I think this one is, I don't feel great about it. So we'll see. Maybe I just don't have a read on this team and they're going to keep me guessing like they did last season.
Well, they certainly have to prove it if they want to get things going the way their expectations are. We're going to get into some of the biggest matchups in this game. Garrett Wilson showing that he's ready to play in the NFL, showing that he's ready to be a problem in his rookie year. And what about Quinnen Williams on the Jets side? How about Ja'Marr Chase? What are the Jets going to do to take him away? We'll get into some of the matchups of this game coming up next.
If you look at Jake Lisco and you see how jacked he is, maybe it makes you like, man, I got to get back in shape. And look, maybe you've been in the gym for a while and you're feeling like you can't get in shape like you used to. Well, it's not your fault. As men age, our body naturally loses free testosterone, the man hormone. It happens to be every man, and it happens to every man. Maybe Tom Brady's going through this right now, and it can make it more difficult to stay in shape, be energetic, and active. It was a Tom Brady age joke for those wondering. I know he's still playing at a very high level. If you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects of aging, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, and get better results at the gym so you too can look like Jake Lisco. Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It has been validated in 5 clinical studies, shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. Now you can get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text NFL to 231-231. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text NFL to 231-231. Again, text NFL to 231-231. Message and data rates do apply. Terms apply. Available at Nugenix.com/terms.
Got to get your self-promotion on with the workout stuff like you do with the Built Bars, James.
You're the one who's jacked.
I'm just saying you can promote.
Jets fans are going to think that Jake Lisco has got an 8-pack. That's my goal
they
right
have
now.
No idea. Let's get into some of the biggest matchups of this game. When I look at it, I talked about it before we took a little break there. Garrett Wilson, I see Quinnen Williams. And those are the names that jump out at me for the Jets. There's also revenge game storylines that we could talk about if you think CJ Uzama is going to come back and go off. Carl Lawson getting his first shot at his former team, the team that drafted him and ended up not retaining him. John, from your perspective, what are the biggest matchups in this game for the Jets?
You know, I see one on the offense for the Jets and one on the defense. I think on offense, they have to figure out a way to slow down Cincinnati's pass rushers. It's been shaky at the tackle position so far this year for the Jets. George Fant had an excellent season last year at left tackle. Now he's kind of been moved around this year so far for the Jets. He originally was supposed to be the left tackle. Mekhi Becton gets injured, who's the right tackle. So the Jets go out and sign Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown's an experienced left tackle. So they decide to shift Fant to the right side. Then somehow, despite the fact he barely practiced in training camp, despite the fact he played 21 preseason snaps, Dwayne Brown somehow gets hurt and gets up on IR. I still am trying to sort through when he had time to get injured. So Fant goes from the right side back to the left side. Max Mitchell, a fourth-round rookie, steps into the starting lineup at right tackle. And what I can tell you is that Max Mitchell's trying hard. He's not a total catastrophe, but he's not ready to play. This was supposed to be a developmental year for him. He was supposed, you know, this is a year he's not physically there yet. He's not strong enough. This was supposed to be a year where he hits the weight room, where he puts on some bulk, and maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, the Jets look at him and maybe they have a tackle. But it's been a struggle for Max Mitchell. So, you know, you look at the Bengals pass rushers, whether it's Trey Hendrickson, whether it's, you know, somebody else. I think no matter who the Jets are facing right now, you got to have concerns off the edge. And then on the other side of the ball, I think, you know, guy Cincinnati fans will be familiar with, Sauce Gardner. The Jets drafted him 4th overall. But across from him, DJ Reed, a free agent signing from Seattle, who's been great so far against these Bengals receivers, you know, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. This is going to be a great matchup. Both the Jets corners have looked good so far this year. They've looked really good, but they haven't had a test like this. Now, Amari Cooper, excellent receiver. He had a little bit of success last week against the Jets, but the Jets have not gone up against a 1-2 punch like this. Week 1, they played Baltimore. We know Baltimore's not a team based around its receivers. As I said, Jets revamped this corner group in the offseason, and they did it for games like this, for teams with dynamic passing attacks. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. I'm excited. Just as a neutral observer, I think you'd have to be excited about this matchup, but it's also a good chance to see where these corners stand up. So let me turn the question to you guys. Where do you guys see the key matchups in this game?
Well, the fact that you just brought up receivers, I'm a receiver guy. So talking a little Sauce versus Chase, I hope it's 1 versus 1, literally. I hope it's 1 versus 1 and that's it. And I don't think that'll be what they do. John, do you think they'll follow Chase with Sauce?
I think it will vary based on what down it is. Okay. The Jets defense on first and second down, you'll see a lot of zone, a lot of cover 3, cover 4, very conservative looks. The Jets change it up on third down, though. Then that's where you get man coverage. that's where you may see Sauce move around with Chase. It's where you may see Reed move along with T. Higgins. So I think it depends on the situation. And they've even said, the Jets have even said that, you know, they don't really have one corner shadow or receiver on first or second down, but third down things change. And so you're essentially looking at two different defenses depending on what the situation is.
So I'm excited for that potential huge moments in the game, big third downs, things like that, you know, red zone. The other thing that I'm watching, and this has obviously been a big topic with Joe Burrow getting sacked 13 times in two games, how do these tackles stand up to non-all-pro defensive player of the year caliber talents? Micah Parsons was insane. TJ Watt, insane. Carl Lawson's really damn good. No doubt about it, right? No one knows it more than the Bengals and Bengals fans. But can Lyle Collins, and he missed practice Wednesday with a back injury, so we'll see how he is, where he is. Bengals fans, I did see him walking out to Wednesday's walkthrough in the morning. So he was in the building, was walking fine. Hopefully it's just more of a precaution than anything. But he didn't practice. So one, is he healthy enough to go? Two, can he block Carl Lawson? Can Jonah Williams not have those 3 to 4 disaster plays that he's had in each of the past couple of weeks? That's a big matchup to me, because I think that Jets defensive line is really good. I also think that when you look at who they faced the past couple of weeks in the Steelers and then the Cowboys, that there's no superstar crazy D lineman or defensive end that's there that can make you look really, really silly or turn you around and make you dance like Lyle Collins had to dance facing Micah Parsons.
Not on the edge. And that's the difference for me this week to last week, guys, is for the Bengals, when they have the ball, it's the interior this week. We're back to, it's not Cam Hayward, but Quinnen Williams is a very force and a very, very good player. John Franklin Myers, he's on the injury report on Wednesday. It doesn't sound like there's major concern that he'll miss the game. A fine player in his own right. So a bit more of a test for the interior this week compared to the Dallas game for the Bengals for sure. But like you said, James, can the tackles stand up against guys that aren't at the top of their position this week and be those adequate tackles that the Bengals have been looking for Joe Burrow to bring together an adequate, this isn't a high bar we're talking about here, offensive line for Joe Burrow. Yeah. I do agree that the corner matchups are interesting as well when the Jets have the ball. I guess I'm the only one excited for Garrett Wilson out of the lot of us. He was really good in week 2. I'm excited to see how and where he matches up. If it is a lot of slot reps again for him, the matchup with Mike Hilton will be fun. And a strength on strength matchup. I can't go an episode without talking about DJ Reader, guys. DJ Reader, Elijah Vera Tucker in the trenches, talking about nose tackles here on Locked On Bengals, Locked On Jets crossover. That's a fun one. The second year guard for the Jets, who they traded up for, if I remember correctly, right? Coming into his own a little bit in year 2, getting a potential big test if DJ Reader is aligned over the right guard this week.
You are correct. They did trade up for Elijah Vera Tucker, and he's off to a pretty good start this year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I owe the Jets fan base an apology for not bringing up Garrett Wilson to this point in the show, because he was so good last week. The Jets have been waiting forever. I mean, you guys saw it last year, what a difference a receiver can make when he steps into the lineup and is great right away. And listen, I don't think Garrett Wilson's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. There's only one Ja'Marr Chase out there, but this offense looked so different last week with Garrett Wilson, and it's just amazing how effortlessly he gets open. Not only that, he's pretty good with the ball in his hands. There was a play week 1. It was a 3rd and 10 or so. He made like 2-3 guys miss. He had a couple guys between him and the sticks, and he made them miss. He almost picked up the first down. I think he came up about a half yard short. So again, Jets fan base, I apologize for not bringing up Garrett Wilson. Jake, I am also excited to see Garrett Wilson in this game.
And I know James is, as a receiver guy as well. I know you are. You got a mute button pressed on your microphone there.
I was excited about it, and picked him up in fantasy in a couple leagues this week. We'll see. Hopefully Garrett Wilson can pay off. It's a little keeper league, so you know, I hope Wilson has a big season. John, what I wanted to hear from you is you come on and say, oh, he is the next Ja'Marr Chase, and he's going to put up those Ja'Marr Chase-like rookie numbers. That would have been the fun part of it. But we do, and I think it was wise not to do that because it's pretty unfair given the quarterback situation alone in New York.
He's going to be really good. He's just not going to be Ja'Marr Chase.
Correct. Yes. Which a lot of Ohioans have seen him obviously from his Ohio State days. So what we need to do now is make a prediction and discuss this matchup a little bit more. Will the Bengals fall to 0-3? Good Lord. Didn't think I'd be saying that at this point, or really ever. By the way, they've never been 0-3 in the Joe Burrow era. But first, a word from BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all things pro and college football betting. So maybe you think the Bengals are going to go up to MetLife and get their tail kicked in. And you think Joe Flacco is going to be dancing like it's 2012. And so, yeah, maybe you think that. Or maybe you think that the Bengals are going to get right and rebound and recover. Or maybe you're not touching this game and you want to wager on the Bucks and Packers or any of the other awesome Week 3 matchups. Well, you can do that. You can wager on the college football slate and so much more, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, golf, NBA futures. All you have to do is go to BetOnline right now. I've used them and you should too. BetOnline, where the game starts.
It's time to get into predictions. Let's see who has a better betting record between John Butchko and James Rapine. We've been wrong from the Bengals side of things, no, straight up 2 weeks in a row. Bengals were upset in two straight weeks where they were touchdown favorites. This week, that not the case. John, let's start with you. Which way do you see this game going after Mike White and these Jets beat the Bengals last year?
Well, I'm actually 2-0. Now, I don't know if last week counts because I was going back and forth and I said, do I pick my head, the Browns, or do I pick my heart, the Jets? And I went with my heart, even though objectively I thought the Browns would win. Last year, I was horrible at this. This year, my 2-0 record's amazing because last year, I distinctly remember the two games I said the Jets had no shot were the Mike White game against the Bengals and then a game earlier that season against Tennessee where the Jets beat the Titans. Again, it's my heart against my head. Objectively speaking, I think the Bengals have more talent. I look at this Jets offense and there are players who are really promising. We talked about Garrett Wilson. Jets have a good young running back duo in Breece Hall and Michael Carter. But I think back to what I've said about the struggles the Jets have had moving the ball on offense with Flacco in there, notwithstanding the last 2 minutes. And listen, all the credit in the world to Joe Flacco. I thought if you told me he was going to start 3 games, I would have told you the Jets would be 0-3. I just don't know that they're going to have the breaks go their way this week that they got last week. So I think this week I'm going to have to pick with my head. I think Gardner versus Chase is going to be a great matchup. I think Reed versus Higgins is going to be a great matchup. I have a lot of respect for this Bengals team. I just don't think you guys are falling to 0-3. I think it'll be a tight game. I maybe go Bengals 23, Jets 20.
Wow. This is tough because part of me says, the Bengals, they're going to get right and get all the way right and do what they should have done last week to a Dallas team that's good, not great. They didn't. And so I look at it and I think John's on the money here. I think the Bengals will do enough. I think I'm not going to pick against them right now. But I got to be honest with you, Jake, and this is more for the Locked On Bengals listeners. If they lose Sunday, I might not pick the Bengals again all year. I might be down picking the Bengals. I might literally pick 14 straight games because they have no business losing to Joe Flacco in 2022. This is supposed to be a team that was mentioned with Bills, Chiefs. Honestly, they're playing as bad as so. I think they do enough. I think it's ugly, though. I mentioned those 06 teams, the 2006 Bengals I mentioned earlier this week on the podcast. I mentioned the 2010 Bengals, like let down teams after big years historically. Those teams did have a counterpunch, and they did hang on when things were kind of spiraling a little bit early in the season. And so I think the Bengals will find a way to get this one, but it is going to be close. I'll take the Bengals 27-20. They actually get close to my 30-point expectation for them, but they still don't get there, which is going to be a whole nother story if they go another week without scoring 30 points.
I feel like I've said this the last few weeks. I again see it being challenging for the Jets to get their offense going. I do think that the Jets have more pieces on offense in some ways than the Cowboys at the skill positions. We've talked about skill guys. We haven't even mentioned last year's rookie Elijah Moore, who was a receiver I really liked coming out of the draft last year. Corey Davis on the other side. So there are weapons here, but unlike last week, there's nobody for Joe Flacco to just pick on relentlessly, unless it's Eli Apple, which it probably is, as Joe Flacco last week went after Grant Delpit in the Cleveland Browns secondary. The Bengals defense, to me, while they might not have the Myles Garrett, does have the cohesion, especially on the back end, that maybe the Browns are still looking for. At least I think that's what's happening to some degree in Cleveland. But, you know, last week I didn't see Cooper Rush going down there and finding 14 points right out of the gate. And there is a blueprint here for opposing offenses against Lou Anarumo's defense, especially early. And that's that smoke and mirrors has had some success. You find the right misdirection play. You find the right time to dial up that reverse, that jet sweep, that flea flicker. And there have been chunks. That tight end screen. Tight end screens. What is it with tight end screens in this team this year? Uh-oh.
CJ Uzama.
Uzama in a revenge game plot. I mean, I didn't see it the last 2 weeks. I don't see it again on paper. I do think that, you know, I'm done making predictions about this Bengals offense. So Quinnen Williams, yeah, we'll see. Carl Lawson, we'll see. Gardner and Reed against this receiving core, we'll see, because it has been a struggle for this offense to get the details right, for receivers to get separation early in routes, for Joe Burrow to process at a high speed, for Joe Burrow to react to flashes in his face, for this offensive line to protect. And so at this point with the offense, we're in believe it when we see it mode, but we do have reason to believe that they will bounce back. It's just a matter of how long it will take, as they were a bit rocky to start last year, as well as Joe Burrow was recovering and getting more confident in his knee. So I can see where both of you are coming from there. Those are just my overall thoughts as it relates to the predictions. Big stories in this game to recap here. The Bengals looking to avoid 0-3. And not just 0-3, but 0-3 against Mitchell Trubisky, Cooper Rush, and Joe Flacco. If before the season you said that was a real possibility for the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know who would have taken you seriously. And yet, here we are in week 3 of the 2022 NFL season. On the other side, John, Joe Flacco looking to keep things right for the Jets, as the AFC East may be a little bit open this year, although the AFC remains stacked if we're talking about a wild card spot.
Absolutely. And really, more than anything, I think Flacco is trying to keep the team afloat for when Zach Wilson returns. Now, we don't know what we're getting when Zach Wilson steps back into the lineup, but as you mentioned, I think the Jets have done a good job putting skill players around the quarterback on this team. When you're talking about the receivers, and I mentioned Breece Hall and Michael Carter, the two backs, and you know, above all else, I mean, the offense looked functional last week with Flacco in there, and Flacco is still a fairly limited quarterback at this point of his career. But I don't know, guys. I feel like the Bengals are going to be okay. I mean, I have so much respect for Joe Burrow. I have so much respect for this offense. And the way I view it is every team has a two-game losing streak at some point. So maybe you guys just got yours out of the way early. And whenever you go on, listen, you're talking to the king of going through losing streaks in the NFL. So I'll try and, you know, calm you guys a little bit. It always feels hopeless when you play badly back-to-back weeks, but all it takes is, you know, one game to turn things around. Now, I hope it's not this week, but I feel like you guys will get things straight at some point this year.
You know who doesn't have two-game losing streaks? The Bills. Did the Bills lose two games in a row last year? I don't know. I guess I should fact-check myself before I say something like that, but they feel unstoppable right now. James, go ahead.
Well, first, this to me is Joe Burrow going to be that bad again? Like, even if Quinnen Williams is really good or Carl Lawson makes it hard on him, I just think Burrow's going to play better. He was confident today, and even off the record, confident talking to him. So that's kind of what I come back to. And you were naming the quarterbacks, and it's like, yeah, in 2022, Joe Flacco or Joe Burrow. And so if it comes down to that, if Sauce plays great and Carl Lawson gives this offensive line all it can handle and all of those things, Joe Burrow, Joe Flacco, even if it's on the road, it may come down to the wire. It may be closer than I just said, but that's got to be the difference. And that should be the difference in got to have it type games. And this, to me, is a gotta have it game for the Bengals. Because if you drop to 0-3, then we're talking, yeah, Jets wild card, and we're also talking, yeah, Bengals 500, can't be 500 anymore. You're going to get to 8-9 because you certainly aren't going playoff. There's been six teams that have started 0-3 that have gone to the playoffs. Six. That's not many. That's low.
I noticed the reverse dynamics from last year because we did this right before the Jets and Bengals played last year, and the Bengals were coming off that great win against Baltimore. The Jets were coming in with one game, and I was down, and you guys were trying to cheer me up. So, guys, I'll do my best. I really do think the Bengals are going to figure it out this year.
You know, I just am done playing the quarterback, the better quarterback wins game this year, because we've seen this year, to me, in a huge way for the Bengals, football has availed itself as the ultimate team sport, and it's come down to mistakes and plays across the board and not just a quarterback position. And also, one correction, the Bills did lose two in a row last year.
So Mitch Trubisky outplayed Burrow week one. I mean,
yeah, Burrow was bad.
You
can't have that, right? And it is more than just Burrow, is all I'm saying. It is
showing
itself very much to be 22 guys on the field and all of them matter.
And last thing, if the Bengals get off to a slow start again this week and that crowd gets into it like they did last week in Dallas, that is so hard to overcome. And that'll be the key. Like, I may flip my confidence very quickly if the Bengals go down and score right away, because then they're going to play with a lead for the first time this year. Oh my God. Yeah. They haven't had a lead. Huh. What a difference.
Crazy times.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, look who you're talking to. If there's anybody who can commiserate with bad football, you're talking to them.
Well, hopefully we're treated to a good football game, at least on Sunday, between these teams. Or maybe fans of each respective team are hoping for a bad game that's a blowout in their favor. I don't know what you're hoping for if you're listening to this episode. I like watching football that's high quality personally, but we will have you covered. John Butchko on Locked On Jets, Jake Lisco, myself, and James Rapine on Locked On Bengals. We'll have your pregame episodes ready to go. We'll have your postgame episodes coming out on Sunday. Until then, thanks for listening to this episode of the Locked On NFL Crossover Thursday, Bengals Jets, Week 3.